Ashwatthama chastised and Maharaj Parikshit saved by Lord Vishnu. All of this, of course, happened after the famous battle of Kurukshetra. At that battle, the Pandavas and Kaurava warriors have been killed, attained their deserved destinations. Duryodhana was fallen to the ground, his thighs broken by Bhima's club. And the son of Dronacharya, the teacher of Dhanurveda, Ashwatthama, he beheaded Draupadi's five sleeping sons. Then he presented the severed heads as a prize to Duryodhana, thinking he would be very pleased, because he thought it was the five Pandavas, Ashwatthama. Dhritarashtra greatly disapproved of this heinous act. When Draupadi heard her son's murder, she cried in great distress. To pacify his beloved wife, Arjuna declared, "When I present Ashwatthama's head to you, Draupadi, after severing out my arrows released from my Gandiva, I will wipe away the tears from your eyes. Then after the cremation of your son's bodies, you will have a bath standing upon Ashwatthama's head. You will surely become relieved of your grief." After comforting Draupadi with such heroic statements, Arjuna put on his armor and mounted his chariot, which was fully armed with weapons. Krishna took up the reins of the horses as a service to his friend Arjuna. And thus Parthasarathi, Krishna and Arjuna set out after that Brahmana's son Ashwatthama. When Ashwatthama saw Arjuna coming from a great distance, he ran away in his chariot as fast as he could. However, his horses became exhausted, and he saw nothing else he could do but use his ultimate weapon, his Brahmastra. He touched water for purification and concentrated mantras to release that Brahmastra, but he did not know how to retract it. A glaring light was spread in all directions. When it became very intense, Arjuna fearfully said, "O my Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and only you can instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. How is it that this dangerous effulgence is engulfing all directions?" Krishna replied, "This fierce glare is due to Ashwatthama's having released the Brahmastra due to fear of his imminent death at your hands. Only another Brahmastra can counteract this intense heat. So you, my friend, must subdue Ashwatthama's weapon by releasing your own Brahmastra." Touching water and circumambulating Krishna, Arjuna released his Brahmastra. The combination of these two weapons produced a great fire covering outer space and scorching everyone in the three worlds with its heat. Upon seeing the imminent destruction of all the planets, Arjuna immediately retracted both weapons. Then with his eyes angrily blazing like two balls of copper, he dexterously arrested Ashwatthama and bound him with ropes like an animal. He took his captive back to the Pandava camp. Krishna said, "Arjuna, you should not show mercy by releasing this Brahmabandhu, friend of a Brahmin, that has killed innocent children in their sleep. Such killing on his was against the codes of warfare. And for such a cruel and wretched person, he deserves to be slain. To kill Ashwatthama will be for his own good. Because if he goes unpunished, you'll have to suffer in hell for his sins. Remember your promise to Draupadi and kill this murderer of your family members immediately. Although actually Krishna was testing Arjuna. Arjuna did not want to kill Ashwatthama. When he reached the camp, Arjuna brought Ashwatthama before Draupadi, who was still lamenting the loss of her five sons. When Draupadi saw Drona's son before her, bound with ropes, as a good-hearted woman endowed with faultless behavior, she'd offered him the respect that is given to brahmanas. Indeed, she could not bear to see the son of her husband's Dhanurveda guru bound up like an animal. Draupadi pleaded with Arjuna, "Release him, for since he is a brahmana, he is considered to be our spiritual master." Kripi did not enter her husband's funeral pyre because of possessing a son. I do not want her to continue to cry like me. If a kshatriya offends and enrages the brahmanas, that anger will burn up his entire royal family. Yudhisthira fully supported Draupadi's statements, but Nakul, Sahadev, Satyaki, Krishna, Arjuna, the ladies of others present, unanimously agreed with the king. Bhima vehemently disagreed, however, and recommended that Ashwatthama be immediately killed. While Bhima prepared to strike Ashwatthama, and Draupadi endeavored to restrain him, Lord Krishna, although two arms, suddenly manifested four arms while intervening. While gazing at Arjuna's perplexed face, Lord Krishna, in his four-arm form, declared, "A Brahma Bandhu should not be physically harmed, but if he becomes an aggressor, he must be killed. My dear Arjuna, you must fulfill your promise to Draupadi and at the same time abide by these rulings of Shastra. In addition, you should act in such a way that both Bhima and I become satisfied." Although Krishna spoke equivocally, Arjuna understood his intention, and so he took his sword and severed the hair and jewel from Ashwatthama's head, but did not kill him. Now that son of Dronacharya had lost his luster due to his infamous act. Now with the loss of his crest jewel, his strength became greatly diminished. Ashwatthama was then untied and driven out from the Pandava camp, which for a great hero was a humiliation worse than death. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. The Pandavas and Kurus went to the bank of the Ganga to offer tarpan to their departed souls of their relatives. They sat down by the riverside, overwhelmed with grief. Krishna and the great rishis tried to pacify those aggrieved persons by giving spiritual teachings. Krishna and Yudhisthira performed three Ashwamedha yagyas. Finally, Krishna prepared to return to Dwarka along with other Yadavas after having been worshipped by the great brahmanas headed by Vyasadeva. As Krishna sat upon the chariot, however, Uttara came rushing toward him all fearfully crying out, "Oh, my Lord of Lords, please protect me. A fiery arrow is rapidly approaching. If you so desire, I do not mind if I am burnt, but please do not allow my embryo to be destroyed." Sri Krishna could understand that Ashwatthama had released another Brahmastra to kill the Pandava's last remaining descendant, Maharaj Parikshit. Although the Pandavas had picked up their weapons, Krishna knew that they didn't have enough time to counteract Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. Even though he had promised not to take up any weapons, Krishna immediately invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, preferring his reputation as Bhaktavatsal to that of a moralist who never breaks his solemn vow. In this way, by utilizing his own energy, Krishna covered Uttara's embryo so that when Ashwatthama's Brahmastra encountered it, it became neutralized. Afterwards, Krishna again prepared to return to Dwarka. Kunti Devi approached him with her five sons and offered her very beautiful prayers. This is a sample of those prayers. "My dear Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisance unto you because you are the original personality. Beyond the influence of the material qualities, as an actor who is playing his role is not recognized, you are beyond the limit of mundane sense perception, and thus you are understood only by advanced transcendentalists that are fully purified. Considering this, how can a poor woman like me know you perfectly? O my dear Lord Krishna, my obeisances unto you. Your abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower. You are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and your glance is as cool as the lotus, and your feet are engraved with lotuses. You save my sons and me from many precarious situations, and now you have saved us from Ashwatthama's weapon. Still, I wish that all these calamities would happen again and again, for by seeing you we will no longer have to see repeated births and deaths." Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Kunti Stuti 1.8.21. O my Lord Sri Krishna, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, and the child of Nanda and the other coward men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and senses. Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamalane, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. 1.8.22. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord Sri Krishna, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotuses, and whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Vipada santuta shaswat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yat syad apunar bhavadarshanam. 1.8.25. I wish that all those calamities that we experienced before would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again, for seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. My Lord, Sri Krishna, when you play the part of a human being, your activities are extremely bewildering. Although fear personified is afraid of you, your perturbed eyes overflowed with tears when Mother Yashoda picked you up and bound you with a rope in Gokul. Gopya dade toyi krita gasidamata vad yate dash ashu kalyanjana samvramaksham vakram naniya paya bhavana nayastitasya samam vimo hayati bhir api yad bibeti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense of breaking the yogurt pot. And your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears which washed the cudgel from your eyes. And you were afraid, although fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. O my Lord, you have accomplished your mission. And more importantly, you have removed all speculative doubts about your identity and have provided the transcendental subject matter for hearing and chanting about your glories. Are you now leaving us, although we are completely dependent upon your mercy? Without your all-auspicious presence, everything will become null and void. For nature's opulence is due to your merciful glance alone. Our kingdom, the kingdom of the Pandavas, appears beautiful only because it is marked with the impressions of your lotus feet. Therefore, when you leave, this kingdom will no longer appear so beautiful. I pray that you please cut my tie of affection for my sons and the Brishnis, so that my unalloyed attraction will be drawn to you alone, just as the Ganga forever flows toward the sea. Twayi main anyavishaya matir marupate sakrit ratim udvahatadha Gange Bhogam Udanvati 1842. O Lord Madhu, Madhupati, as Ganga Devi forever rushes to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. After hearing Kunti Devi's beautiful prayers, Lord Krishna smiled mildly, and that smile of Sri Krishna was as enchanting as his mystic power. Nevertheless, Krishna entered Yudhisthira's palace at Hastinapur to inform the other ladies of the palace of his departure. At this time, Sri Krishna was stopped by Maharaj Yudhisthira, who very lovingly implored him to remain for some time. The aggrieved king had not been pacified, despite innumerable instructions given to him by the great sages, headed by Srila Vyasadeva and even Lord Sri Krishna himself. Being overwhelmed by the death of his friends and relatives, Yudhisthira was aggrieved, just like a common materialistic man. King Yudhisthira lamented, "Oh, what a wretched fate has overcome me! I am the most sinful man, for I have caused the death of so many thousands of men. Even if I were capable of atoning for millions of years, I would not be able to escape the hell that awaits me. I have killed so many husbands, sons, fathers, and brothers, Thus, the enmity that I've created with the women is so great that nothing can be done to compensate for it. Just as dirty water cannot be filtered through mud, nor a wine-stained pot cleaned with wine, so I do not believe that this great slaughter of men at Kurukshetra can be counteracted simply by Ashwamedha yagyas, sacrificing animals.